Ballpark, an Emil Sinkmars thriller. Getting inside had been routine. The stress came in getting out. She had a near encounter with a nude man who carried a pistol. Hiding from him was like having her nerve endings scraped raw by a hand file. Nerves were 9/10 of the battle. Hers were shot for the night. She had to remain dead silent. The woman in the house could return at any second. Quinn crept halfway up the staircase toward the lady's bedroom, then slipped out the open side window, the one she'd entered. Propped her bag on the hedge and lowered herself down from the sill. She clutched her bag of loot in one hand and held on with the other, dangled off the side of the house in the moonlight, fingers slipping. She looked down to locate her landing in the dark before she shoved herself outward and dropped from a height above 10 feet. Quinn remembered to flex when she hit the ground. She trained herself well. She toppled over, nerves, yet landed quietly on the grass. Checked herself out. She wasn't hurt. Whenever a plan worked, a special joy thrummed inside her. The young woman spotted her boyfriend's car, her accomplice. Excellent. She walked a little faster than usual, despite the effort to keep her pace casual. Guys had a gun. He was Starker's. She had a story to tell. Dietz, you won't believe it. In a nick, Quinn had slid into the passenger seat, slammed the door shut. Okay, trucker boy, let's fly. Dietz failed to start up on her command. She looked at him. Suddenly her nerves, those nerves, flared around her chest and snared her throat in a vice. Dietz didn't budge. In the light of a street lamp, a mysterious dark patch across his chest pooled below his belly and fell off his right hip. That was blood. All over him. Blood. She caught on. She got this. Dietz was dead. He was sitting there dead. He was crazy. Dead. Dietz. Her getaway driver would not be getting away, or getting her away. Not from this. The opening of Ballpark, an Emil Sinkmars mystery. And yes, quite an opening. An opening that will lead us to a baseball diamond, and more importantly to our tale, a commemorative baseball. One signed by one of the most rightly famed players of the modern baseball era. Who does not love a good mystery? One with a murky crime and crime scene, and particularly one with characters who are intriguing, who pull at our heartstrings, characters we'd enjoy spending time with. Let's assume they too enjoy our favorite activities. Characters who we want to hear from again and again, page after page. Never mind the characters featured in Ballpark include mobsters, cops, one seemingly on the make, one trying to fit in as a choir boy, a young woman who's chosen life as a thief, and the young woman's old-timey fence. All characters with somewhat murky backstories, all with murkier futures. Our two key protagonists are early in their life journeys when we meet them, and surely from different backgrounds and experiences, they come slowly into focus as our tale of murder and duplicity unfolds. One character, by the compound name of Sinkmars, is a young French-Canadian detective whose experience on the city's notoriously successful night shift has given him a reputation in the police force of effete snobbery. The night shift is its own crowd, you see, uncowed by the bureaucrats who rule the day team justice police, and are therefore something of a curiosity, and certainly the focus of the day cop's jealousy. In truth, Sinkmars' work on the night team infused him with a better sense of his police talents and sharper knowledge of Montreal's seamy side. The other is Sinkmars' quarry, the person we heard about in that opening, a young thief who falls into her work because of an adrenaline thrill that's stealing insights in her. But Quinn, her name, quickly learns the thrill that comes with the risks she had no way anticipating or comprehending. Bring her into the gray operating world of a longtime Montreal fence of stolen goods, a fellow who quickly becomes something of a surrogate father to the teenager. And our story stays just this side of believable as these three characters' paths cross through no obvious intent of their own. Matters only get more complicated when our young detective, Cinque Mars, develops a growing interest in Quinn's predicament. In over her head, after her first big burglary, Quinn is accused of murdering her getaway driver. She was the last person known to have seen him. And thanks to the burglary, now the fraudulent owner of that Jackie Robinson baseball mentioned at our very outset, which, if it surfaces into the public eye, would portend the horrific downfall of a local mafia kingpin. Quinn soon enough finds herself pursued by the local police and the mafia, and she is way too young to figure a way out of her troubles. It's a climactic ending, Cinque Mars goading his older and well-versed former boss of the night shift to retire from the force in a blaze of glory that will rip open the mafia's legal and not-so-legal businesses in the hopes the tumult will force the mafia boss to release the young, now kidnapped, Quinn. He wants that baseball back. He thinks Quinn knows where it is, and not without reason. But if the risky, way-out-of-character gambit fails, it will mean the end of Cinque Mars' police career and the likely end of Quinn's life on this earth. Now, if this sounds kind of familiar to you, it may be because Ballpark, like the famed and ever-so-popular Inspector Gamache mysteries, are set in French-language province of Quebec. The city of Montreal is all but a character in Ballpark, and the tensions between French and English speakers is a part of everyday life on nearly every page, complicated by the big city, its ever-changing influx of immigrants from around the world, bringing their own languages, their own cultural expectations that make Montreal, and by extension this novel, a melange of backgrounds, sounds, motivations, ideas, actions. As I noted earlier, this is a mystery with characters. We come to know, we come to learn more, we want to find some time to spend with. Let's conclude our review by reading a bit about the backstories, the current stories as well, of both the two major characters, starting with Quinn, that young thief, who finds herself in a Montreal city park, racked to the bone, her soul torn apart by the death of that young man she had conned into becoming her getaway driver. As our author writes about her inner turmoil, Quinn wanted to go back to Dietz and say, "Sorry, I'm so sorry you're dead because of me. You were an incredibly sweet boy. You have no idea. I could have taken a deep dive for you in a major way." She felt so lost. Then suddenly she grasped that she was finding her way back to herself. She tracked herself down. She was no longer crying or shaking or breathing too rapidly. She felt miserable, in pain and sore, but sensed that she could stand up if she really wanted to, that she could walk out of these woods if she found the path. She was not yet ready to do either, but when the time came, she could. She'd haul herself up and go home, live her life with a busted, blown-out heart. See what that did for her. Quinn had to laugh at her own spark of sass. In a way, she felt sad to be returning to herself, broken and annihilated. Working through the pain had been real. Life never felt real enough. That's why she stole. She stole in order to feel real. She stole to feel that life was real, that her mother had once been real for her. Only now her mother was dead, and that was real too. Her mother was gone. Gone without her. And that would always be real. She knew that now. Never again would she call anyone a moron for saying so. Quinn remained in the woods, curled at the base of a broad tree, between the huge root at her back and a cluster of stones. She gently clawed at the earth with one hand, tenderly scraped the soil, then fell asleep in the warmth of the day. A tiny child in an immense world with the thrum of the city coursing through the rock of the mountain and through the roots trees surrounding her and through her veins. And this about Emile Cinq Mars, that young choir boy kind of detective who finds himself thrown into a new world of concern when he discovers that Quinn does have some personality, does have a heart he thinks he can turn around if he can only free her from the really bad muck she's gotten herself entrapped in. Not too long after, we learn about Quinn's attempt to bring herself back to life after the death of her getaway driver and the horrible state she found herself in. We find Cinq Mars musing about his life and his calling as well. Instead of wrestling with demons of the spirit world, he opted for battling their earthly counterparts. And yet, did he not still cling to one side of the angels? He hoped that that proved true, and his life might be well spent. When the time came to decide, he rejected his calling. He joined the police. A philosophical experience for him. In stepping away from one calling, he deeply felt the lure of another that was also invisible and initially unknown. Whatever his work in life, for he felt it had to be vital, life-affirming and compelling, as his expectations were for the priesthood. Cinq Mars considered a life devoted to animals and believed it to be the answer. That calling, while attractive, never exerted sufficient heft. Then he discovered work co-joined in a different animal, the human criminal. Justice and mercy, truth and lies, passion and compassion, to serve and protect. The calling was large enough, romantic enough, and challenging enough. Early on, Cinq Mars accepted that he was born for the task. He demonstrated a talent for detection and seemed to possess an intuitive acumen. Away from the hallowed halls of contemplation and piety, Cinq Mars returned to work. Back on the streets of murder and deceit, given the same decision to make again, he'd still stick his head and hands into human villainy. It's a novel that offers both great mystery writing and some very interesting character development. Ballpark, an Emile Cinq Mars thriller by John Farrow. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries. Hope you visit one this year, certainly including the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.